Let's pray. Heavenly Father, glorious and gracious God, we thank you for all your blessings, for your great condescension in so many ways, in revealing yourself to us, in enabling us to come into your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the day that you have given us, and we thank you, Lord, for bringing us together now to worship and to praise you. And we pray that you will help us to do that with our hearts, with our minds, with our words, as we come before you in prayer later, and as we listen to your word now. So we ask you to be with us and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, I'm going to read from the beginning of chapter 10 of the letter to the Hebrews. But before I do, I think it's just worth putting that in a bit of context. So chapter 10 comes, not surprisingly, after chapter 9, but it comes after a chapter in which the writer has been talking about the temple and the holy places within the temple, and then beginning to explain how Christ has taken the role of the sacrifices, or how Christ has fulfilled the role that the sacrifices of the Old Testament were a picture pointing towards. So we're going to start reading from the beginning of chapter 10, and then a bit later we're going to focus on a few verses from verse 19 onwards. So Hebrews 10, verse 1. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sin. But in these sacrifices there is a reminder of sin every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. As it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings, and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law." Then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. What I want to do is just to focus on those last three or four verses there, where he starts and says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence." And as we've said, so leading up to that, he's explained various elements of the temple. He's talked about the holy place and the most holy place, or the holiest place. Here he refers to the two together as the holy places in verse 19. And he's explained how those places were viewed in law by the Jews, that the priests would go daily into the holy place, but the most holy place, or the holiest place, or the holiest, as the King James Version renders it, was just for the high priest, and that once a year. So you have these places in the temple, and that the priests and the high priest only were allowed to enter. Probably worth saying that the book to the Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, was written probably around about AD 60, 63, 64, around about the same time as Herod's temple was being completed. And so there's a lot that the writer here is bringing out, and I think trying to just remind the people that he's writing to, they're the Hebrews. They're the people who are Jewish converts to Christianity. The people who would have, perhaps it be within their living memory, of Jesus Christ being crucified, of being part of a Jewish ceremonial system, both prior to and after his crucifixion, until their conversion. And then they see this big new temple being erected, and the temptation that we see throughout Hebrews is this danger of these people going back to their old ways of falling back into the temple sacrifices and into the temple worship, rather than continuing on with their worship of Christ. And of course, to them, the idea of entering the holiest place as Jews, when they were Jews, would have been anathema. It would have been death had they entered the holiest place. But of course, what the writer is trying to say to them here, what the writer is putting across to them here, is actually, you know, brothers, in Christ, we have confidence to enter that holiest place. As I've said, you get here, it talks about the holy places. An ordinary Jew wouldn't even have been allowed into the holy place, let alone the holiest place. But he's saying, you can have confidence to do this. It's no longer going to bring death to enter this part of the temple, to enter this part of the sanctuary. And you don't need to go back to those old ceremonial ways. Jesus Christ is our one for once for all sacrifice. So, and he talks about that in chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7, and explains how that would have worked for the Jews of old, both at the time of the tabernacle in the wilderness and the times of the temple, Solomon's temple, Herod's temple when it was completed, and so on. So that was the message that he was getting across to them. He said, saying, you know, this thing that you would have once have considered to be an unbreakable law, you can do it. You can have confidence because of Jesus Christ. He talks about this new and living way. Not a way of sacrifice that came about through dead animals, but a new and a living way. So what does it mean for us? I think most importantly, and hopefully leading us on to prayer. What does this passage say to us? Well, it says the same. We can have confidence to enter God's presence. We can be secure. We can go to God. We can bring to God our prayers. We can. It's kind of, I was thinking about this. It's like sometimes you see these I don't know, big pop concerts. I've not been to any of these big pop concerts, but I'm told that various things like this, and people get badges, which is access all areas, which means they can go in and watch the concert, they can go backstage. And that's kind of what we have here. We have a right to access all areas, in one sense. We can enter God's presence in a way that the Israelites of the Old Testament, never could. In a way that David, Solomon, Abraham, and so on, Isaac and Jacob, could never enter God's presence in the way we can. We don't have to follow any special rituals. We don't have to do it only on special days as the high priest did with the holiest place. But we can come before God and we can do it confidently. We can speak to him in prayer. We can speak to him confidently knowing that he hears us. And that all that is done through his son Jesus Christ. We also can approach him confidently and hear him speaking to us. We have his word in the way that people of old didn't have. So we have this in our day and age. We have an access, certainly for us here, we have an access to God that was something that both at the beginning of the New Testament, certainly the Old Testament, believers didn't have. They couldn't enter God's presence with confidence, and they couldn't receive God's word apart from through the mediator. And we have God's word written down for us. So we can enter God's presence. By what right can we do this? Well, it tells us the blood of Jesus. So we see we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus in verse 19 there. And we read earlier in that chapter how the Jewish people, when they went, they offered a sacrifice. They offered sacrifices on a regular basis, but that blood never took away their sin. We have this blood of Jesus Christ, which is the one that opens the way for us. The blood of a bull, the blood of a goat, the blood of a ram couldn't open the way to God in the way the blood of his son does for us. We see in verse 12, he says, when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins. Offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins. Just once. Didn't need to be repeated. And then he sat down at the right hand. The priest, when he was offering the temple, would have remained standing. Jesus Christ, who was both our great high priest and sacrifice, when he'd offered that sacrifice, he sat down. It was complete. It was finished. It never needed to be done again. And what has he done by offering, by being and offering that sacrifice for us? He's opened a new and living way. Matthew Henry said, firstly, you've got the issue. It's a new way. The old way of approaching, Matthew Henry talks about the access via the tree of life. And that was closed off in Adam and Eve's time. He talks about Jesus Christ, the new way, the only way, and the living way. And it's living. It's a living way into two respects or two aspects. It's living because he is living. He is continuing, he is alive, he is in heaven. His sacrifice was a true sacrifice and it was a true death. But his resurrection and his ascension means that he lives still. And he lives and he sits at the right hand of God in heaven. It's a living way. And he's there interceding for us. So by his life, he continues, by his continued life, he continues to be our high priest. He continues to intercede for us. And secondly, it's the only way of life for us. It's a living way for us because it's the only way by which we can attain life. If we try and approach God any other way, it means death. And just the same as Jews who tried to approach God without the mediation of their high priest, or by offering their sacrifice, by offering unauthorized fire, as we read of Eli's sons, it meant death. So any kind of self-righteousness, good works, false religion will lead to death. But Jesus Christ and his blood is the open way and the living way, a new and living way. And it's important as well that he's still there as our great high priest. So seeing there in verse 21, we have a great priest over the house of God. Because we shouldn't forget, we do have access to God, but we're also still sinners. And Jesus Christ continues to be our mediator. He continues to open up the way for our access to God. So what does the writer to the Hebrews then tell us to do? He tells us to enter the holy place, enter with confidence the holy places. And then in verse 22 he said, let us draw near. Let us draw near. If you received an invitation to go and visit the Queen or the Prime Minister or somebody who we consider to be fairly important, and it came through the door and you opened it and thought, well, that's nice, and you just kind of left it on the table by the door or left it on the desk. I'll get around to that. I'll deal with that at some point. And after a while you look at it and think, do you know, I can't really be bothered. You've received an invitation to go to the highest in the land, and yet you can't really be bothered. Well, we have an invitation to draw near to God. And that's a far greater privilege than an invitation to visit the Queen or any human being, whoever they are. And so we should use this privilege. We should take full advantage of this privilege. This is not a privilege that we just leave on the table and think we'll get around to it. We should, at best, that's ingratitude for Christ's work. At worst, something probably far more serious. How do we draw near to God? We draw near to God through prayer. We draw near to God through worship and through our singing and through our meditation over his word and through reading his word and through obeying his word. And we draw near to God in these ways. So if we don't do those, then we need to be asking serious questions of ourselves. We should not only have confidence, but we should use it. We should take advantage of this great privilege that God in Jesus Christ has laid before us, rather than just leave it on the hall table and get around to it eventually. So he says we should draw near. And he says we should draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We shouldn't be afraid. I remember at a long time ago when I was at university, and actually it was at my graduation, and I was talking to a fellow student who was a believer, but her mother wasn't. And we were talking about this, and the mother said, well, I'm not good enough yet. I'm not good enough to come to God, but I will. I've just got to be good enough. We don't need to worry about that. We will never be good enough for God. But we can draw near with the confidence that the work and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ satisfied all the demands of the law. And not only the demands of the law, but the demands of justice as well. Because if he had only met the demands of the law, well, we're still culpable for our law. He met the demands of the law. He met the demands of justice, that God said that sin should be punished. And he met the demands of justice on our behalf. And God the Father showed his acceptance of that through the resurrection, that he raised Christ from the dead, and that death was defeated for we who put our faith in Jesus Christ. So we should draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, and we should draw near with our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. We have that confidence because we have been sprinkled by Christ's blood. And because there's the image here of the washing with pure water is an image of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So we have that confidence because we are sprinkled by Christ's blood and we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. On the obverse side, we don't have that confidence if those things are not true of us. So the writer to the Hebrews here has shown us the sacrifices of the Old Testament, the sacrifices of bulls and of rams and of goats were, all they did was underline and emphasize the fact that we are sinners. But the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, gives us an invitation to draw near in full confidence that his work is acceptable to God. And that when we come to him in prayer, we can come to him in confidence that our prayers will be heard. And that he, Jesus Christ, continues to intercede for us. So we'll sing again in a moment, and then after we've sung, we'll just pray on those on that for a while. So let's sing again. This time I'm going to sing number 295.